Welcome, everybody. This is Jay Hill with Paranormal Saloon on Studio 6 Media Productions. This is a new show. I decided that I wanted to kind of get back in the game a little bit more than I have been. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. I think this is my fifth show I've done. You know, it's just kind of a thing that I want to do where it's just, you know, paranormal never gets boring. And the guests that I have are fantastic. And I'm sure that, you know, you'll see in the future episodes that I have other members that are friends of mine that have been on previous episodes of different shows. Because I can never get enough of them. You know, I mean, they're great to talk to. I have a new guest. This is the first episode, so I have a new guest, and she's great. You know, I really am looking forward to this, you know, so, but I will have to say that having thrown this together in a day, I'm pretty amazed at myself, so yeah, my guest's name is Sarah Harmon, and they call her, I think, Paranormal Sarah. So without further ado, let's get her on here and chat away. Hello.
Ta-da! Hello, yeah. Jay. How are you?
I am great. How are you, Sarah?
I'm doing so well. And I want to preface with, you know, thank you for having me on your very first premiere episode of this, mm-hmm. because I'm excited. I always love to do virgin shows, you know, really get things started off fiery. And also to let people listening know that if you hear a screaming child in the background, I am not torturing children. I have a newborn in the next room. And so, you know, being separated for too long is always an experience. But that, Jay, I wanted to be here tonight because talking about this kind of stuff is my passion, your passion, and mm-hmm. hey, starting the new year strong.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And this, you know, the next this beginning of this year is already ramped up to be pretty crazy. Especially in, you know, in the paranormal world and all these new shows that are coming out and, you know, friends of mine that are getting programs and other things. And so, you know, I look forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to what the paranormal field has, you know, on its docket, so to speak, you know, so, but yeah, so, you are my guest and I'm happy that you're here. So tell me a little bit more about Paranormal Sarah.
Yeah. So, you know, Paranormal Sarah, if you're an oldie, and I say oldie, you know, maybe because I feel like I started out in the community joining, you know, for me, maybe initially, I'll use my Dana Carvey fingers, probably around 2003 when I started working with MUFON, after having kind of a more formal paranormal experience. I say more formal, like not haunted homic stuff, not crazy stuff happening with my family on wild adventures, not, right. you know, late night Ouija board, teenager exploitation. You know,
oh like, God, no, no like, Ouija board, please.
You know, crazy, but no, it was a real experience with a hypnosis and a regression and someone speaking a different language and me kind of going down this wormhole that put me on a mini strings theory path of, you know, working with Dr. Leo Sprinkle on alien abductions to now working with the UAP back in 2000s, early 2000s, working with different paranormal shows, helping make sure through mental health examinations that people applying for these shows, you know, weren't actually mentally ill individuals. And so I remember going to like Penn State when Paranormal State was starting and talking to them about how their show was going to be getting launched and how everything was going to change and, you know, Chip Coffee.
I love that show.
We were all there out. Yeah. And I loved that show. And so
that
I kind of remember, you know, growing up on fear, right? Fear and Paranormal State and some of those older shows, and working with some of the cast and crew of those and doing conferences and then writing some books and then doing some more conferences and then writing some more books. And then, you know, and it just, I kind of feel like has been a little bit of a stair step each year to just compound on that and to learn on it. And, you know, professionally I work as a counselor, and I work in more of a darker, you know, forensic realm. So I feel like the trauma and the, you know, paranormal and the spiritual and all of those things, they get intermingled and melded and all of those pretty frequently with the paranormal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's been a long time, and I feel like a jack of all trades, master of none, kind of.
That's my motto. I've been that way my whole life, is, you know. So yeah,
and that's a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I looked at it this way. I mean, if you've gotten to be able to, you know, work in a lot of different places and learn a lot of different things, you know, you are kind of just, you're a lot better than a lot of people, because some of these people, you know, you talk to you like your parents or your grandparents, you know, they had a job for, what is it, 40 years and one job, you know,
I've had
several and different things, you know what I mean? And I've learned a lot. Yeah. You know, I learned a lot. Now, some other people in society would think that would be kind of, you know, lazy, or that I can't hold a job, but I wanted to learn as much as I could.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, so
So when I switched jobs and did everything from warehouse to cooking. To, you know, what I'm a cook by trade, but I'm also I'm a fork truck driver. I you know, worked in the warehouse industry for 20 plus years, but I've also done the same amount of time as having a second job in the restaurant business. You know what I mean? So
I think the restaurant business is so important for people. I think I did that throughout college and like the later end of high school. And I still think back on like the lessons that I learned as a waitress, a server, a hostess, a pizza slinger, and a pastry chef, like all of the little jobs in the restaurant, all the side work, all the just the customer experience going at COVID, you know, taking the customer experience away, like just drive up orders and the difference of what, you know, that middleman to your food is. I don't know. I think it's important. Some of that gets lost, I think. In the cause of it all, so I'm glad that you've
but
got
I think that. But I think that having different jobs and knowing different things, you know, and learning different things, kind of sets you up for different things in life in general. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you never, you know, I believe that there's a reason why, you know, that I have had different jobs. Because the fact that all of those jobs that I've had have came into play in my life in some way or another, you know what I mean?
For sure.
So, I mean, I believe there's a reason for everything. There is no coincidence, you know, it's just.
Right. How many coincidences make a fact, you know? Right?
Right. Right.
Not playing that game.
You know, so, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, and it's really kind of weird because. You know, I've always said that I don't really say, you know, I follow the paranormal. It's the other way around. The paranormal follows me. Mm. You know what I mean? So pretty much everywhere that I've ever had a job, excuse me, has been active. Every house that I've ever lived in, except the one I'm living in now, has had activity. Oh, I've gotten stories upon stories. So, can you relate to any of what I just said to you?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I almost think, and I like that you kind of switch up the adjective and the play on words there, because I kind of feel like sometimes when people say like, well, how do I get into the paranormal? And I think, I don't really know how to answer that question, because the paranormal is so much a lens that I see the world through. It's much like saying like, how do I get art into my life? And it's like, I mean, you just, you see it all around you or you don't. And once you realize that literally anything can be that, you know, magical, spiritual, metaphysical, strange, weird, odd, unique, all of those things that dabble within the paranormal, I think you have to be open to seeing them. And then it's just kind of like anything else. Once you, you turn your eye to it, you can't help but see it everywhere you go. And then it does follow you because it's very much a part of a collective consciousness. Right. But growing up in a home that we had an old lady that haunted the house, and she still does, even though it's been renovated. And she wasn't like a dark and evil lady.
Right. They're usually not.
She was a mentally ill old timer lady that was separated from her home against her will. And she had a bunch of wallpaper on the walls, pretty run of the mill, normal kind of thing. But she on occasion would move through the house in a way that people visiting would be like, "Hey, I didn't know your grandma was here." And you'd be like, "Oh, because my grandma lived like six hours away in Springfield." I'd be like, no, you know, that's the old lady that haunts the house. And we'd all laugh, but people that were like, "No, really though, your grandma," you know, because she looked so real. She wasn't partially see-through. She didn't, bang the cabinets or anything. And she didn't really do anything. She just casually moved through the room on occasion.
On a side note though, let's go back a little bit to that banging cabinets.
Moving shit.
Okay, now, in my mind, I can't really predict or picture an old lady banging cabins,
maybe, but not her.
Right, but I mean, it's just like, what would make a spirit actually do that? I mean, unless they're trying to get attention. I get that fact, but it's kind of like, what are you for?
Well,
I think
ooh, that's funny. To annoy you, to make you fearful in your own space, maybe. I think don't we wish they would do the dishes or like help pay rent or something? But that's never the case.
Can you go to the store for me
can you please mount the neighbor's dog? No, it's never that kind of helpful stuff. But I think about the only time that I had a location that did the cabinets did go open, was a location that was haunted by something that was, I would say, more negative. I don't want to, go naming names or anything, but of all the experiences I've had, of the some of the scariest ones, I would say would be in that. And it was just a duplex on the outskirts of Kansas City, just a random, poop hole duplex. But some of the things that would happen there were really crazy. Like it had a fireplace, and the fireplace would turn on throughout the day. I mean, things that you had to really turn a knob and clicky clack, like things that were significant, but things that were dangerous, things that would cause, harm to the people in and around the space. So there was a lot of those kinds of things happening in the space.
Would cause that? What would make them think that, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, slam this drawer and I'm going to turn this fireplace on and I'm going, what would lead them to actually do that? Unless there either has to be a specific reason or just they can get away with it.
Well, and sometimes I even think about, like, if so much of your energy has to be fauceted or funneled in a way to get my attention, that maybe my own fears or projections play a major role in what symptoms are present. Because, gosh, once you leave your body behind, I'd like to think you have access to some pretty cool information out there. Like, you can loom in over people through space and time. So what is it that you want from me? If it would be some sort of an emotional connection or reaction, then maybe the way that they manifest is meant specifically for the viewer. I don't know. I think it's fun that we don't know yet. Not yet. Not really, really.
Right. There's a lot of unknowns and a lot of questions. There's people out there that say they know. Oh, we know this. We know that.
No,
you don't know shit. No,
right.
No.
It's well, not... and I do. I get frustrated with that too, Jay, when someone's like, it's the ghost of the 5-year-old girl and she likes to play with the ball. And I think, dang. Not that it might be true. That might very well be so.
Right.
But like,
right.
Do we want to pigeonhole the experience of what?
When they jump to that so fast, right. You know, unless you're an experienced, unless you're an experienced medium, or you know what I mean.
I mean, unless and, it's somebody that
you know. I've been able to do that. Mm. Yeah, I've been able to do that. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a medium, but I wouldn't say that I'm totally experienced. I mean, I just know that's just who I've been.
Yeah.
So I've ran into certain things like that where. You know, I will sense, you know, a spirit coming up to me or whatever, and I can describe what it's wearing and this and that. Da, da, da. That's a normalcy for me. That's all the time. But I have an ability to kind of put it, you know, separate it from reality to spiritual. You know, I'm always busy doing reality things. You know what I mean? Either I'm working or I'm doing stuff for the show or I'm doing this or that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless I'm at a haunted location or I'm at a building, like if I'm out with friends or if I'm, you know, visiting somebody and we're going to this restaurant, but it's in a really old building and it's really cool. 9 times out of 10, I'll be able to sense something or, you know, have an interaction just because it just happens that way.
You're open to it.
You know what I mean? Right. I'm open to it 24/7. I'm like a freaking Denny's
open
diner.
To it. Yeah. Like a Waffle you know? House. I'm more of
yeah,
a Waffle yeah. House. Maybe,
yeah. a oh, Waffle yeah. House in Missouri.
Yeah. For sure. Lit up on the hill there.
So,
yeah.
You know, some of the best waffles ever.
Some of the best.
And the best
people
pancakes.
Watching and French toast.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure.
And hash
yeah,
browns. Yeah. Hash browns are a good one. Mm-hmm.
The fluffiest eggs I've ever had is at a Waffle House.
I never trust the eggs.
The best scrambled eggs. The best scrambled it's eggs. Like, oh, my God. They were so fluffy. I could not get enough.
I wonder
of them.
What it is, though.
As we talk about the paranormal, and then we kind of go into food.
Right. Well, those eggs are pretty paranormal. No, I think that's actually yeah, kind of right, funny, though, because right. I think about the staples in certain, you know, like, help me get into the paranormal. What do I do? Some of those things, it's kind of like street racing almost. Like, well, go hang out where the people hang out. Kind of go do whatever it is community
right.
that you want to be a part of. And in the paranormal community, there is almost a sense of, like, when I think of going to Gettysburg, there's the Lincoln Diner. Because I'm a foodie. If I'm going to be going to Savannah, Georgia, you know, down underneath the willow trees, there's a particular pho restaurant right down just on kind of the outskirts of Savannah that has like the best pho and the best like Vietnamese
right.
coconut soup. And I'm going to be eating there. Like there's certain places I know that if I'm going to be going to the Mansfield, Ohio Reformatory, then the only place you're going to get a decent meal is the darn... What is that place that you stop on when you're on a road trip that I can never think of that's got the fried okra? It's got the gift shop in the front. The country place with all the really good food. It's going to come to me. It'll come to me, Jay. But
Sarah.
That place. Gosh, dang it. But that's the place you would go and you'd go get some okra and some blueberry waffles and Cracker Barrel. Ah,
oh,
I was thinking,
okay.
They almost shut down for being racist. So I had to, that's where my brain just to be sorted.
You had Isn't to take crazy? A little side jaunt.
I had to, because, well, that's what I remember being like, they almost got shut down for being racist. Oh, that's right. Cracker Barrel. But yeah, and so like, there's just these certain places where I'm thinking, okay, of all the haunted places that I've been able to travel and go and experience, I feel like the hangouts afterwards. You know, you mm-hmm. go to the events or you go to the big meetups or you go to a conference or you get to experience an investigation. And then it's 3 o'clock in the morning, a Waffle House, a Perkins.
Oh, you know? God, gotta love a Perkins.
That you kind of
I used to live.
To
I
wonder.
Used to live in Omaha, Nebraska,
oh,
and we
Omaha,
had a
Nebraska.
Perkins there and a Village Inn.
Omaha's beautiful. Huh? Yeah, it's got cobblestone. It's got cobblestone on the downtown. Omaha does.
Yeah, that's a historic third
I
or
love that
something.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah. I got friends that still live there. My daughter was born there.
Yeah, I need to get Omaha. To the zoo there. That's the one thing I've not been able to go to yet. And I just always
I,
do great things.
Yeah, I was at that zoo. I've been there 3 or 4 times. You know what I mean? So.
You know the zoo.
I know Omaha. I know, you know, a lot of the streets and a lot of
Omaha where everyone has a red room, and that's not a Shining reference.
Right.
It's a Huskers reference.
Right. I used to work at Bonanza years ago. That's where I started. Bonanza. That's where I learned to cook. Was a Bonanza years ago.
Yeah.
Yep. 1992.
Bonanza. Oh, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago. I know. I'm dating.
Giselle in the chat room, she said, did Sarah say she wrote books? I did. I did write books. I did write books.
You did write books?
I did write books one second time. Yeah, no. My first book, which was published through Llewellyn, which I feel like people who were already like witches or pagans that like really closely followed that publisher were familiarized with me in that way. Whereas I was working with Llewellyn as a presenter, and then they had asked me to write a compilation of short stories about my paranormal experiences. So I wrote Haunted by the Abyss. And then after that, I would find myself at conferences, and I really wanted to be talking about quantum mechanics and science and more empirical related things, because I was trying to get scholarships for school and people weren't funding me because they were like, well, you're just a crazy psychic tarot paranormal lady online, so we're not doing that. And I was like, I need to be more professional. And when I was trying to like meet the needs of all these other people and kind of form whatever a brand is, I guess, at that time, I did quantum parapsychology, and I co-wrote that book. And I think co-writing a book, Jay,
it's Sunday.
It's probably something right. It's late. I don't know if I'll ever do that again, just because people speak differently. We have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. We have different writing styles. Right. And so the way that the book is written is like, why do ghosts walk through walls? What a physicist would say, what Paranormal Sarah would say. And it's just kind of an open conversation to get people thinking with some more scientific shoes on about what we go through within the paranormal on kind of a basic level with quantum mechanics. Because we're learning stuff every day in that field. And so I feel
But that's the question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Why do ghosts walk through walls? I know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that?
Why do they walk? Well, I feel like when you're no longer of, you know, a mass, that you don't have to abide by those laws anymore. You're no longer in that dimension. So those laws don't apply necessarily to how you are manifested. I love the idea that when you're just light or you're just vibration, that you can move through things, and that physical obstacles are no longer of concern. You know, we find peace in that with death and with grief. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like because we know that to be true, because we feel that peace and that relief when we know that to be true, the same thing goes for when people do manifest and show themselves physically without, abiding by the rules as we know them. It's, you can do what you want.
I think that manifesting is half and half. I think they do it by accident, depending on what energy source is around them to be able to do that. Or talking about walking through walls, you know, I agree with what you were saying, you know, describing that. But here's the different thought process about that. Usually you see spirits that walk through walls. My first thought is, what was there when they were alive? Was it the same house or was it a different house? So if they're walking through walls, was that a hallway at one point? Are they in a loop?
Well, what's interesting too is I think if we're seeing it with our eyes, with our human eyes, our mortal eyes, you know, the rods and cones and all the physiological structures in our eye that requires us to see something. I feel like as an entity is moving from room to room, it's almost like they are omnipotent, and it's just like a hologram or a projection of their own thought being there, because they're not actually there.
I would agree with that. Right. I would totally agree with that. You think, therefore I am.
You know. Right.
You know what I mean? And that does not.
Right.
And that stands, I think, in my opinion, 100% stands true, especially if you're a spirit. And that you think, therefore you are. You know, I think that that is a really strong statement.
That's a life.
Especially for people who are deceased.
Yeah. Just being alive, you know, and being aware. I think it's good that statement is really key.
Right.
And religious, too, mm-hmm. by the way, mm-hmm. which I feel like
right.
sometimes Paranormal Sarah finds herself being controversial. I find myself in a controversial space because I love to help people understand, like, witchcraft. I love to help people understand religion. I myself went to a Baptist mm-hmm. church for a very long time as a child growing up. And so the indoctrination is definitely there. But also, like, going and coming back to the church as an adult person, you know, mindfully doing mm-hmm. it, choosing to understand right. ritual and spiritual symbiosis, because I think they need each other. Mm-hmm. And I think they're the same thing. And mm-hmm. I think that philosophy and religion and scripture, I mean, saying it out loud, talking about it, like doing what you're doing right now, Jay, which is why I always want to be a part of podcasts when mm-hmm. I get the opportunity, because talking about it,
right.
Having listeners listen mm-hmm. and hear it, that's what makes it so.
Right. Right. And speaking that the spoken word is power in itself, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that. So, you know, when people say, you know, be careful with your words, you know, people let stuff fly out of their mouth all the time. And it's like, yeah, you really shouldn't do that, because that directional, let's say a rant, let's say if somebody's driving and they've got, you know, rage, you know what I mean? And they
get that sometimes. That
we all do, I think. But that person coming out of that car and yelling at the other person, and it's almost like that spoken word is like daggers. And there's people that feel that. People who are really sensitive to that, you know, some people it just bounces off. So I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know. But there's other people that take that internally, and there's a reason for that, because everybody's made up differently. Nobody's the same. We're all right. humans, but that I know of. I mean, alien issue is a whole different another show.
I know, it's a whole other show.
We can do that but later, yeah. right, but you know, when these, you know, people say that, you know, speak kindly, and you know, words can hurt people. You know, and I truly believe that, you know, and so I always try to be mindful, especially if I'm in, like, if I'm investigating a haunted location, or if I'm doing remote viewing for a paranormal team, you know, I got to be mindful of that. You know, I got to be mindful because of the fact that this person, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I am not a big fan of provoking by any means. Because that's just stupid and disrespectful.
Well, I feel like it also is a really clear representation of where you want to be, you know, like even if I'm doing, like if I'm doing therapy with someone, or if I'm working with a mental health client, that reminder of like, you get to really build your space. You get to choose right. who you want to talk to about things and what you want to say. I would say me as a woman now who has found some maturity, I used to just say stuff, like, especially if I felt it, I would just blurt it out almost as a catharsis to feel better.
Right.
But then later you realize, holy cow, you can't take that back. It grows.
Right.
It's like a kinetic energy. It's a seed for things. It's and as my dad always said, you know, we tend to remember the horse and the horse's mouth, not always so much what is said.
Right.
And it's like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Sometimes I don't even always remember what's said. I just remember that person was someone who was always gossiping or always very negative or always very mm-hmm. hurtful. So it's like, right. you know, choose your words wisely, because it builds upon your own reputation. And I would point out in a little way that whenever people want to do, like, spiritual mentorship type work. Specifically, Jay, I find my strength in language. So like the difference between a curse or what is a curse or those kinds of things. It's the, I would say it's the exact same thing that I would teach in a mental health space. For like earth, water, air, fire, and that your air energy, what you're saying, what you're speaking, it's related to your water, your emotions, and it's really related to your fire and what you do. So like a threat, I'm going to do that. It's like, okay, you, that person's probably going to do it, especially if they've thought about it and have feeling behind it. Now they're saying it. Well, shoot, that's three out of four, you know? And I feel like those variables, they play a role like spiritually, but also in the paranormal when someone shows up and they have scripture or they recently, for example, I had someone message me and say, hey, I have a sick child and I can't help but think a few months ago, they said they heard something scream in their bedroom, something scream behind them, something scream right behind their ears, where they grabbed their head and came running to me. They said their head hurt and that they had heard a scary voice screaming behind them. And we went and checked out their room. They were scared to sleep in their room. The little boy really was struggling. And then a few weeks later, they found a brain tumor right in the back of his head. And she said, I can't help but think that the two are related. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should do something, you know, spiritual, like a prayer? And my very first response, even though I may or may not think rationally that a prayer is the first thing to do, because that mother's intuition and her direct belief of like even contacting me, there's already that seed that's been implanted that she believes that they're connected. You know, she believes they are. And so to alleviate that is a huge deal because what she's saying out loud and how she feels, maybe the power that being able to talk about it and then say something back in return gives to a person, like listening first to let somebody tell you what is going on, regardless of what I actually think is happening. Like, do I think that a spirit came in and gave her son a brain tumor? No, I don't believe that. But do I think that a mother who's scared and paranoid and trying to find some way to comprehend and control things and needs to find some mental stability, and maybe this is the only way that she can, and so I can give her something to do that and it'll help everybody. Can we do that? And is that helpful? And is the intention good? So, you know, I might move in that direction. But like empirically, it's hard to put your finger on what's actually happening in that situation. And so to say that someone's right or wrong is really difficult, but you know what's good and bad versus, you know, because in forensics, we talk about that right and wrong versus good and bad. And that's how I know religion plays a role in the spiritual and the paranormal, is because oftentimes I'm moving in a way that's good and bad, you know?
It's almost like you can't have one without the other.
No.
I mean, you can, but you know what I mean? You can in a way,
you can't
but
have a light without a dark to put it in. You just can't.
Right. No. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's people who don't want to deal with certain things, especially talking about religion or, you know, even scary situations like the paranormal or, you know, dare I say that D word, the demonic, you know? So, which I tell people too, me being who I am and seeing some things and have experienced that dark side personally.
It's real.
If you were to actually experience it, you would probably shit yourself because it's not the movies. It's not, oh, you know, and this would happen or that would happen. And I would be like telling it where to go. I'm like, yeah, no, you'd be running out. Like if you were a dog, you'd have the tail between your legs because you'd be running out there shit yourself. I'm telling you.
The fight or flight response,
I have a story
really
on,
is something that you don't know what you're doing until you're doing it.
No. Right. I have a story on Paranormal Memoirs on my other show. And that talks about my religious experience.
Right. So wink, wink, nudge,
of me
nudge.
Coming to Christ. Go there. You know, and what happened afterwards. Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. The darkness that was controlling me before that did not like that.
For sure.
At all. So my experience, and that's one of my favorite stories. I mean, not a favorite, but I mean, I love telling that story because it actually happened. And anybody that people that have listened to it have told me that I don't know what I said, what, you probably shit yourself? You know? She, and this person was like, yeah, she says, I don't know how you dealt with that. And it's like, I don't know, but it happened that way for a reason. And I take that with me.
I liken it to, well, I kind of put it as a similar experience to like a trauma, you know, or a grief.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I would call it. It would be a mm-hmm. trauma. Yeah.
Which I think always opens people up to more empathy and more depth as a person. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes that is what gives you the highs and the lows of personality and just depth of soul. And so it's not a good or a bad thing.
Right.
In that way, because you're not choosing it, right? You're not choosing for those things mm-hmm. to happen to you. I think when I recall the more scary experiences, maybe what's the most scary is kind of like a mental illness. Like if you've had depression or you've had anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. you may not be choosing these things, but it has a sense of control over you or over your moment. It's usually hindsight that you mm-hmm. think, well, shit, I didn't enjoy any of my 20s because I had this going on, or gosh, I wish I wasn't dissociating. Right.
Oh, I can relate to all of that. You know, 16th yeah, yeah.
birthday, I can't remember any of that because I was not, you know, I was checked out. Right. I was whatever. That you look right. back and you think, dang, it really stole something from me. I think in the paranormal too, with like demonic things or negatively spiritually charged things. Mm-hmm. You know, like in my case, if I ever see an apparition that looks like my grandpa, I'm not going to immediately think that it's my grandpa. Because I've had experiences where right. things have shape-shifted and used his figure as something that is
oh yeah
something I want, something I yearn for.
Right.
And so now the true thief is that you don't go running into the horizon with 100% love in your heart thinking, oh, grandpa, you finally are showing yourself to me in the afterlife and I can get some closure. Instead, it's a second guess, a wince, a skepticism, a paranoia that mm-hmm. lives in that space instead. And that really is a thief, right. I think. And so it's not,
right.
you know, demon Balthazar, you know, like snarling coming out right. of your closet. Right. It's, I don't think the same way about my grandpa as I could before I had that experience. And that can't be changed.
Right, right, right. But here's the other question that, you know, when you talk about that, seeing an apparition that looks like your grandfather, who's really not your grandfather, the entity that's portraying that image, how does that entity know this is what her grandpa looks like? I'm going to portray them. So it's kind of like, okay, that is a question that I don't think have really been asked too much. Because I'm thinking about it now. It's like, where is the research or the information that these entities can go beyond time and space to find out what your grandpa looked like.
Right. I think.
And to bring that back, you know what I mean? And then to, and the, like they talk about like a doppelganger, or they talk about, you know, where spirits can mimic your voice or your children's voice or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where did they get that information? Or how did they do that?
I think it reminds me of, in many ways, kind of, at least in the UAP space right now, in a more applicable way or like a relevant way, people are scared to talk about it because if it's a higher intelligence like AI, then, well, gosh darn it, you and I, Jay, right now are already digital. And everything we're saying right now is digitalized right. and it's been broken down like that scene from Willy Wonka, from big things to small things and then back over to bigger things, that this information has, thanks to our voice, by the way, been manifested into a different mm-hmm. realm that information is stored differently, seen differently, processed differently, and maybe doesn't get washed away. It repeats forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And I think that right. our memories, and I feel like especially our emotional bonds and more strong memories, traumas even, because I feel like it sometimes will feed mm-hmm. on those things.
That's an energy source of its own, actually.
I feel like, man, if we radiate that into our DNA, which they say, you know, with the complex post-traumatic stress disorder and DNA activation that, you know, we're carrying the trauma of all of our ancestors and all the love stories of the people before us and our blood and bones. And whether that's entirely true or not, sure. I don't believe energy ever dies. I think it's imprinted in some way, shape, or form. And I think that a higher
right.
level entity would know how to access that. I think that it would be access to yeah. everything, which, you know, I think right. is scary for people, whether it is demons or aliens, that if something has more control over you than you have of yourself, like a godly entity, humans mm-hmm. don't like that. We don't like to, well, I don't think anybody does. You don't like to feel like you're.
Well, it's a part of being less in less control.
Yeah. Well, hey man, I'm a woman.
And we are control freaks.
Right? Well, I mean, we feel yeah, like, you know, I'm oppressed. He's oppressing me. You're not oppressed. Right. But no, it doesn't feel good on any level. You know, it's kind of scary.
Right. Right.
But
it is. Do you think that when you were talking about like the entity and like they can like mimic your voice or mimic, you know, what your grandfather looks like, do you think that some of these entities or that these spirits that we do see are interdimensional?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And that's what I was kind of thinking as well. It's almost like.
I do.
It's almost like if there's a spirit or entity that can go back in a different dimension and see what your grandfather looked like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, and then go back through another part of a dimension, you know, dimensions, and then say, okay. And for whatever reason, I think that there's going to be a time when people on this earth are going to be like, I give up. You know, I can't figure this out. I have no idea. There's too many different variables. You know, there's too many. I think that we're kind of right now in the paranormal field. I think that we're, in hindsight, kind of chasing our tail.
Well, I think, too, that we aren't always using the right tools. I feel like if we went back, you know, into older times with a cell phone, but don't have, you know, the satellites or the towers, then the tools don't work. I feel like we have a lot of tools mm-hmm. without the more important tools like put in place to use them. I feel like we understand the electromagnetic spectrum and that we want to be, you know, taking something you buy at Home Depot to determine if there's energy present. But I don't think that we really understand that energy present at that moment doesn't necessarily mean anything. It can be not right. present in just a second later. Things aren't able to be recreated in a laboratory environment. That's part of the frustration about it, which is how you know in some way that it is kind of conscious in itself, is that it's not allowing
right,
you to oppress
right.
it.
Right, right. Now, go back to when you're talking about old times. You know, go back to one of my favorite people is Nikola
oh,
Tesla.
Oh, yes. 369.
Okay, and now for him, for what he created, he was way ahead of
for
his
sure.
time. And for him to, when he said that he thought he was communicating with spirits,
right.
you know what I mean? There was certain pieces of equipment that he built, but it's a lot of his theories were based on frequencies, you know?
And I think that there's
I'm
to
a
that
true...
because do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, I
right.
think of chakras, I think of mantras, I think of monks on the hill.
Right, right.
You know, I may not be able to speak
right.
whatever language, but if I'm on a hilltop and I get to the top and I notice that they're doing a certain thing with their hands and they're doing a certain frequency, cross-culturally,
right.
every frequency kind of aligns to a certain part of the human body. I know kind of what they're focused on.
Right.
That's it's
yep,
a language.
Yep, yep.
I love that.
It is. And that's why when I sleep, before I go to sleep, I put on different hertz of frequencies so that I can sleep, or that I can get some type of mental clarity, or that I can tune in, or you know what I mean? And since I've done that, it helps. You know what I mean? But it's just, I'm a huge believer in frequency. Vibrational frequencies are, we give it off freely, like as much money as we give to McDonald's.
I worry about it, actually, Jay, because I think about, because I know that it's real, you know, I've got my copper bracelets and some of the things that I do to try and make sure that I'm grounding myself and keeping myself. I moved away from the city, right before 2020, kind of right as things got really hairy in Minneapolis, actually. And I cannot tell you the change that I feel in my body, not being around all the Wi-Fi and all the buzzing of the city, like the real buzzing. It affects my body. Mm-hmm. I feel a higher level of just like I've been riding a Harley or a horse or something all day, like that kind of, humming through your body. To be able to go out and be in nature and open a window or hear a rainstorm or use frequencies to just kind of realign mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like it's just as important as, like, you know, the singing in church. It plays its role in kind of a harmony and a regrounding. You got to do it for those people that ask, like,
I truly believe it. I mean, in the summertime, especially, I will take my socks and shoes off and go stand or sit in the yard. Let that grounding, you know, affect me in that way. Or I'll go sit down by the lake of, you know, where I'm close to.
Cold.
And that water is that energy source for me, because I was born in that little town, and you know, I have memories, and my memories go back to when I was one. You know, so it's just like I tell people all the time, ground yourself. If you don't ground yourself, all you're doing is living in static.
Well, yeah, you're just a little hairy meatball.
You know,
that's how my brain sees it, as a hairy meatball. Like, for a second, you know, clean yourself off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it does. In essence, it cleans your ions. You know, shameless plug. It's kind of a perfect transition, actually. As I was stepping out of my career space to do some more school and spend time with my little guy at home and do some more writing, my first published article this year was one on baptism, where I talked about, you know, whether or not you're Christian or not, dipping yourself in the water and what that does for the soul.
It's therapeutic in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cleansing.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. And that there's something to it. It's not just refreshing, you know, it's ionizing.
Water is life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that is one of the main sources is water, you know? And yeah, it's just first thing I do in the morning is I drink half a thing of water. You know what I mean? Because it sets the tone for my day.
Well, I think like in the paranormal investigating, how can we utilize water? I mean, water is such an, like, it's a tool.
Yeah.
You know, like,
there's a guy that I know that, was working with wavelengths, vibrational wavelengths in water with the paranormal. I can't exactly know. I don't remember exactly what entailed in it, but,
want to know more.
He hasn't. And it was about a year or two ago that I saw this, and water is a conduit.
I've seen him play music,
you know, put electricity
and it like changes its shape as it's coming out of the spigot.
Right. Right. Isn't that weird? How that works?
That's how I believe when I saw that, that's how I, you know, when people say, well, that's how they moved the pyramids. That's how these structures across the world are moved. These huge structures, they're done with like, you know, vibration and didgeridoo, like, you know, we're vibrating it across the surface of the earth and getting it there. And it's like, what? Is that real? And it's not until you see how easily sand is moved and water is shifted.
Right.
With sound.
Right.
You know, even sound.
But I mean, with those pyramids, you'd have to have a pretty big speaker.
You'd have to have a big mothership humming above you, guys.
Right.
Crazy. But
you know, I still think that there's ties to that.
Nikola Tesla,
you know what
stuff.
I mean, with the Egyptians and all that stuff. I mean, there were certain things that were covered up that, you know, once people realized what it was, they didn't want that information out there. You know what I mean? So they buried it in the sand, and everything
Atlantis
is buried
and
in
all
sand.
Those faraway, you know. Conspiracy right. theories of Atlantis.
Right. There's so many different things that we don't know about, you know, and there's things that people don't care about, which is fine.
Can't.
They have their own path, and I tell everybody this too. If you've got a heartbeat, you've got a purpose. And you have your own path.
That's true.
That's your path. You know what I mean? You follow your path. Your path is not the same as somebody else. You can align yourself with that person and have the same ideas for something, but you're ultimately going to take your own path. Everybody does. Yeah.
And you should.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you should.
Right. You know, they said, don't do what everybody else. If you, you know, this person will jump off a bridge. Would you do the same thing? And it's like, no. Well,
depends on why we're jumping, I guess.
You could follow the masses, but you're ultimately going to do your own
right,
thing.
Right, I got to know. Give me more information, yeah. guys. Yeah, it's not just because of what other right, people are right. doing, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would say that goes mm-hmm. for, you know, circling right. back around to the very first question of, like, getting into the paranormal. It seems to be, well, and I wouldn't say it goes in waves, but it does. Where it's trendy for a little bit, then it's not trendy, mm-hmm. and then it's trendy again for a little bit, and then it's not. But I mean, I remember taking a Ghostbusters lunchbox to school. So, I mean, there was a time, you know, yeah. that it was trendy too. And, but I also remember, like, in high school, if I was checking out the paranormal book or the ghost stories book or something, that didn't make mm-hmm. me popular. That wasn't, I mean, it might even in fact be something that, you know, people pointed at me for being the weird kid. Mm-hmm. But Goosebumps is still like number one selling kids book, and it's like been around for like 40 mm-hmm. years. So I feel like it's always interesting because everybody's going to die. It's the non-discriminating factor that binds us all. Mm-hmm. And I like being a part of that, however I can be. And so whether it's trendy or not, or if it's like, you really like this show, or, oh my God, my show got canceled and now Supernatural's not on, so I don't care about the paranormal anymore. And it's like, ugh. There's so much more to it than that. It's really what each person can bring to it and, you know, explore.
Right. I think that there's so many different avenues that people can take on in the paranormal, and it's not just one direction. No. You know what I mean? Sure. And so there's a lot of people that I know that are trying different things here and there. But the one thing that I will say is that it's not a competition.
Oh, no.
And I see too much of that right now. Where everybody's trying to get to the head of the line.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about.
You know?
It really confuses me sometimes because I do
think a lot of it's ego. Yeah, a lot of it's ego. A lot of it has to do with I can do it better than you. I can do this, you know, whatever.
I can do better.
Right. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that doesn't suit me. And it doesn't help me, I suppose, meet my goals. So I like to be around people who are
right.
enjoying what they're doing. You know, I've worked with a lot of people that have done a lot of the paranormal TV shows. And I worked with A&E on a show once, and I was terribly unhappy with the outcome. And so, like, the experience wasn't great for me. And so when I think about would I want to do that again,
right.
probably not. But, like, is the competition
right.
how many – like how long we can be on TV, or like how much we can charge for an 8x10, or like what's the goal here? I don't know. I feel like I was just telling somebody earlier today when they were like, well, why are you doing a podcast? And I was like, because I think if I died tomorrow, I would want my children and my children's children to be able to access my opinions and my thoughts and my legacy, because kind of like an Egyptian thing, like, if people aren't talking about mm-hmm. you, in essence, you're dead. And so I would want there to be something to be spoken
right.
about. That there's some
right.
ego in that too, I suppose.
Did they really ask you why are you
yeah.
doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Huh. Like you had some crazy mm-hmm. thought process of
yeah, like if I'm not getting paid $1 million, or if you know, if you're not doing, or like it's so late, it's
no.
late and it's
oh,
a school name.
Please.
So like why are you doing that? Or like why are we doing it? Like, well, because it it helps. I think it helps not only share your passion, but I have a lot of people that ask, right. why did you get into the paranormal, or, you know, what is there to even talk about with the paranormal, or things like, and it's like, man, there really is a lot. And it's something that, again, kind of like we said in the beginning, it's woven like a fabric into every day.
Right.
So I'm excited to always talk about it with anybody and everybody, and anybody who's starting a podcast, and kind of a new series too. I think that that's important to be a part of, because then you kind of get to, I tend to think I have like a Midas touch. Not that I myself am ever the famous one, but I tend to work with people, and then like later down the road, they do very well. And I love to be a part of, like, if I could have the portrait of Prince before he was Prince, or if I could have the portrait of, you know, Jay before he's the next Joe Rogan, you know, or something, like, to know that you get to see different versions of a person, I feel like is an honor.
Right.
And so I'm often trying to like get many versions of people in my life.
Right. Oh, I'm going to take that and run with it. So
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I, you know, like I said, there are no coincidences. No. And so I do believe that there was a reason why you contacted me first. Yeah. You were the first one to contact.
Well, I saw it. I told myself this morning over my coffee that I wanted to have some good conversations today. And if you can't expect change if you're not making change, and I need to be doing more. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I want to chat with someone today. Let's see what I got. And so that was I was the first person for you. You were the first person for me. So, and I can see some of the people in the chat are like, here we are at the top of the hour. Thank you guys for such a good show. It was a good show. It was a good episode.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this has been eye-opening. And to speak to another person, like-minded person, on a level of inquiry, you know, because we had some questions that we were trying to inquire about, taking different opinions from each other, you know what I mean? And I was kind of picking your brain, and you know,
and I want to know what the audience thinks too, like the people listening into the show, like, what do they think about going through the wall? Like, what do they think about having access to our memory?
Right.
Yeah.
No
good
kidding.
Questions.
Are some of these entities interdimensional?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Is Bigfoot interdimensional? Yeah.
I've always believed that. I That's really
why he's
do.
Blurry.
Is he blurry? I have friends. I have friends. My friend Kelly from my other show, Paranormal Triangle. She is a big Bigfoot fan, and she doesn't believe they're interdimensional. She doesn't think so. And I'm like, then why aren't we seeing them all over?
It could be a Montauk monster. It could be a genetic. A human that escaped from a horrible, horrible government thing, and there's almost so many of them out there, but their genetics are strong.
He's got part of a
it
monkey.
Could be like a
ass.
Hybrid thing. We don't know. A super soldier.
Right.
We don't know. That's what I like. We don't know.
With the way the world is, and the things that are coming out now, and things, and just the weird like shifts. I know that you've experienced shifts. I have
for sure. And
shifts.
I would even say too that when it comes to the psychic, the divination, the like, why can I even get on that boat? And I know that we're wrapping up, but I just to plant the seed maybe for future shows is that I feel like astrology. Mm-hmm. I feel like that end of the scene in Men in Black when he opens the locker and it like pans out and everybody is microscopic, that like we are very quantum small in comparison to things. And so I feel like as the astrology shifts, so does our experience on the planet, because we're so symbiotic with our environment. And we're in the age of Aquarius, this last big shift since COVID starting, and then the 4 years of COVID as Pluto moves into a position in the outer skirts. And when they, you know, I would always hear those songs growing up, the Age of Aquarius. And I thought, what the hell does that even mean? Oh, you know, and then later kind of learning a little bit what maybe I think of Aquarius, and then failing chemistry, thinking astronomy was astrology and it wasn't, to learn that, like, that I did. I was like, I can do this class. Fail. Learning that, like, different chemicals burn in different colors, and that, you know, the planets are a certain color to us because the way they reflect light, and like learning just enough to know that, like, oh, the chakras actually correlate to, like, parts of our body and frequencies mm-hmm. that actually are that color. Like, that's the electromagnetic spectrum. So, like, I don't have to guess.
What is your favorite color then?
I like green. I really love green.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like.
I love orange. I love orange.
Ooh, the sexual stuff. Okay. That's the, you know, yeah, I think of the sexual organs and the gut and lower. I like orange too, though. That's actually my color.
But I like orange, but I also like red, though. Too.
Power color. I mean, root chakra. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that my baby is probably squalling, and I don't know how do you have a special tradition for your outros? Do you have, because I don't know, well, I guess people can email me if they want to get a hold of me, but I would just tell them to get a hold of your show.
Yeah, I actually have an email for that. It's,
you do? Okay, so yes, you have an email.
I do, I have an email. It'll be on, all of this will be on Facebook and YouTube, but all of the audio for this will also be wherever you get your podcast. So
wherever
I'll be on iHeart. Yeah,
yes.
iHeart Radio, Spotify.
Perfect.
Apple. And on there is my email for this show.
Wonderful. Well, I know if people Google, you know, or if you ask your Alexa, you know, please help me get a hold of Paranormal Sarah. It'll probably give you the accurate way. But you can always email me directly, or I would say get a hold of Jay through the show. But I'm excited, and I hope people do download and listen, whether you're just taking your morning walk or a nightly stroll, and that they send in some answers and interactions to what we talked about tonight. It's always fun.
You know, we got to do this again, because this was an enlightening show. I mean, it was very, very, it was fun and very informative. And yeah, I was very at ease and calm talking to you.
Good.
You know what I mean?
It could be my hypnotism powers, Jay. Right. Probably not. It's just like, but but yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. You know what I mean? It was just happened that way for a reason. So
yeah. Well, I again cannot thank you enough for the honor. I'll go ahead and pop out here, guys. But man, I'm honored to have been on the premiere show, and I'm looking forward to all the future shows. And I always tell people, if you out there are someone who has a podcast, or you're just a listener, and you want to partake in fun conversations, you know, continue to join along and chat and comment. And I love to have those late night conversations and pick people's brains. And so, Jay, I thank you for providing the platform to do it. Thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. And I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us tonight to watch this. And like I said, you know, it'll be up on YouTube and it'll be everywhere you get your podcast. So you want to get a hold of me, my email is in the link. And I want to thank everybody again. And I want to thank my guest, Sarah. I thank you. And with that, I am going to finish this out with the ending credits.